This is Wade Brathke. That means it's Wade's World. We're on KABF and our partner stations. We're broadcasting live from Little Rock, Arkansas at www.kabf.org on your web or 88.3 on your dial. It's 100,000 watts of people power, the voice of the people, not only in Little Rock, Arkansas, but elsewhere around the world. You know the story. It's Friday morning. It's 9 to 9:30 Central Time. Could be God knows what time somewhere else in the world. And we talk to the most interesting people in the world. Today, we're fortunate enough to be talking to our friend Adrien Roux from Grenoble, France, who is the coordinator of REACT. And I'm going to tell you a lot more about REACT, and he's going to tell you all the truth about REACT. Welcome to Wade's World, Adrien.
Thank you. I'm glad to be
here. I want you to notice how smooth and suave I've become. That Adrien just rolls off my lips. Not an Adrien. No, I've been schooled. We're no Adrians. We're Adrien. That's French for Adrien. Adrien's been with us for the last month in the United States, so we've gotten to have hours and hours of great conversations about the future. But one of the most interesting things is what REACT is doing all over, particularly Northern Africa. Give us a sense of where you're working.
REACT has been working now for a couple of years, organizing local groups facing a French multinational company. So, for example, in West Africa, there's this big French multinational company, Bolloré, which owns palm oil plantations in like Cameroon, Ivory Coast, Liberia, or Sierra Leone. And we had recruit and train, and now we've got a bunch of local organizers who have helped farmers affected by land grabbing to build a community organization or farmers union to be able to fight against the company.
Now, palm oil has become wildly popular around the world, hasn't it?
Yes, sure, and it has been. It's a it's a crop like a cash crop. So when you say that, it's bring a lot of money. So many of those kind of company, they manage to get agreement with the states, like Cameroon State or Ivory Coast, to get cheap lands. And they pay some little money to the state, but then the local communities get just busted out of their lands, and that makes a big deal. And that's an unequal fight between the local community, which are facing the multinational companies, and their state. That's why, there's quite a lot of work on organizing and try to get this.
People use palm oil for all kinds of things, cooking certainly, and a number of other uses that you used to use corn oil for, or olive oil, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I know if you fly into an airport like Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, for like 5 or 10 minutes as you're coming into the airport, if you're fortunate enough to land in the daytime, you're doing nothing but passing acres and acres, hectares and hectares, of nothing but palm oil trees. Is environmentally palm oil, what does that do to the crops? I mean, they pretty much stuck. Once a farmer is looking after a palm oil orchard, that's about all they can do, or?
Yeah, it's really environmental damaging. I mean, mostly because now currently, like in Africa, like in Cameroon or like in Sierra Leone, they just destroyed acres of forest, natural forest, to replace it by palm oil plantation. And then you have some those of factory in the middle of the forest with very bad products in the rivers. Like some of the local farmers, their main fight is about the land. They want to get back some of their vital land. But some other demands that they are fighting for, it's also to have the company to respect environmental standards, to stop pouring their toxic in the water and things. So it's a multidimensional fight, and that's why it has,
So REACT, how did you get involved in this? Did y'all go out and find the farmers, or the farmers found you, or how did you get from Grenoble to...
My parents have a farm in France, and they were involved at some time in some farmers' union when the cooperative where they used to sell the milk was bought by big multinational companies. Well, that's a long story, but we happened to meet some Cameroonian from France, from the Cameroonian diaspora and Ivorian diaspora, and they were telling us that they were having the same kind of fight that we were having facing big companies, and they were feeling powerless. So we started to see what could be done, and eventually ended setting up a bunch of local organizers like in Ivory Coast and Cameroon and Liberia with this basic idea that if Bororé, with this big palm oil plantation, is like a giant with 1 foot in Cameroon, 1 foot in Ivory Coast, 1 foot in Liberia, we'd better try to organize not in only one country but in those countries simultaneously, so that we can try to walk on their foot in the same time in Cameroon, Ivory Coast, and so that, you know, try to make this asymmetric fight more equal, and that's what we did.
Now, are the farmers, do they own the land, or are they just working for wages for Bororé, or how? What is their relationship to the company, or do they raise palm oil and then sell their crop to the company? I mean, how does it all work?
Usually, some of the local farmers, they used to own the land and to have traditional cultures, then they get busted out of the land. So the village, some of the village, they now surrounded by the palm oil companies, and they have a little land. So they sometimes they manage to work a little for the companies as workers, low wage, you know, wage are usually it's 40 euros a month when you add a worker, so you know 40 some $45 maybe, so it doesn't make a lot for living. And so now their big fight is that
fairly say when it's hardly a dollar, you know, a euro and a half a day, that's almost no money, isn't it? And those are people, families working full time.
Yeah, exactly. So that's 6 days a week, and you know, very hard labor. You know, in this tree, they just gotta pick up the palm nut. So that's why they are really eager about fighting to get back the land, so that they will have their own like farm. And that's what they did now by building, like in Cameroon, they managed to build this like Sinoparcam, which is an organization with now a bit less than 500 members. And they had some promises from the company, from their fight last year. And even after the first movement, the company accepted to they agree for transnational negotiation with some of the representatives from the farmers from Cameroon, Ivory Coast, being invited in France for like a meeting to try to fix a plan. That this was last October.
Now, were you surprised to win that meeting?
We were. I mean, that fact fought for it for like 2 years.
Oh,
and
okay.
That was
so
the one.
That big of a
so that's what the one demanded. They say like, we don't want like, we want to, yeah, international negotiation, so that nobody is left behind, because they're quite strong and powerful in Cameroon now. They're strong enough in Cambodia and in Ivory Coast, but in Sierra Leone the repression has been harsh. So yeah, there was this idea to try to use the strength of the others, and so that was the idea of this global plan. And they wanted, why international? Because on the national level they're facing two adversaries, the company and the states. Yeah, they were trying to get some like neutral ground by having this like international with like media and friendly NGO that we
now
support.
Now, does Bororé have operations in France as well, or is just headquartered in France? Is it involved in agricultural pursuits in France?
Bororé used to be, now it still has some operation. It's a very famous businessman in France, because he has was a close friend of Nicolas Sarkozy.
And he's a former president of France.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not so long ago, I guess, a couple of years.
Yeah, till 2 years. 2 years ago, and he owns, for those who have visited Paris, Bororé owns all the system of bike and car to rent in Paris, which are very popular.
Okay, so they have a brand name that they're worried about too.
Exactly.
Okay.
So. and he's somebody who's ambitious, and so that's why this pressure also worked out well. But still, at some point, is after those new actions, so the Cameroonian in late April and May, they managed to block the factories. Many families with the farmers, with their wives, the children, some elderly, went all in the forest, sit down, and prevent the workers to do the work. And that cost some money, and that also brings some, you know, attention about like
what. I bet it did get their attention, even in France. And is there headquarters in Paris?
Yes, in Paris, but they've got, you know, it's a complex multinational company, so they've got the headquarters in Paris, and the holding which manages the plantation is in Luxembourg.
Ah.
And actually, what happened? There was some at the same time of this action in Africa. There was some action in front of the headquarters, so you could figure out the big building with the shareholders going to the meeting, and also green grass. And then some of the
was an action that React helped put together.
Yeah, exactly. That was a React action organized, and we mobilized some of the Cameroonian and Ivorian diaspora, which arrived, and with some farmers' union in France, who arrived with the shovel and all these gardening tools, and they start to garden the green grass of Borere, saying like, we don't have any more land in Africa, so if you don't mind, we'll just
start planting. Yeah, we start
grow our vegetables here if you don't. So it was a joke. At some point, the shareholders start to be concerned about like, what's wrong? It has been now 3 years we hear about this revolt and movements. At the first time, the manager just said, no, this is all fake. This movement, this mobilization, these farmers are manipulated by one small NGO called React. And
Grenoble, of all places. Not even in Paris. Grenoble.
So he was publicly in front of the assembly, the chair of this company said like, yeah, it's all about React things, and saying I saw that. And you know, now we are talking about this one girl called Eloise Molo, who is currently in Ivory Coast to work and manipulate those guys. So he tried to defend, but most of the shareholders, they say, well, it has been 3 years, you know, and riots in Cambodia and movement, you know, and now they sit in. And
enough is enough.
Yeah. So some people say there may not be, you know, smoke without fire. So whatever there's a problem, you should better fix it. So somehow, unexpectedly, those shareholders become some allies. That's why now we are expecting a new negotiation meeting, bargaining session in autumn, and hopefully it will bring some.
What was the first session like that you actually, how did people feel coming all the way up to Paris? Had they been in Paris before? That must have been unique experience.
But no, it was great because those, you know, you'd have those who had never left their country in Sierra Leone or Liberia. And the first thing great is that Borere offered us the occasion, the chance to meet, because we didn't. So these guys start to talk for 1 week before the meeting. We are to prepare. So they start to say how it was in Sierra Leone when they get expelled from their land, and how the state is standing with the company. And the guy from Cambodia would say, that's exactly what happened to all to us, you know, the same way. So that was interesting to see how the same kind of, you know, big business and state alliance would be the exact same process from West Africa to Cambodia. And so that we had great stories to share. And then the interesting part was the meeting with the company.
I want to hear about that.
The company was really condescending, saying like, oh, we are really nice to welcome those small farmers. But they didn't figure out that those farmers are actual leaders, and they've been fighting for years, and they know what they're. So they were really like, okay, so now we'll talk about your small problem, how it is in your village, and how it is you're in your village, so trying to. And the guy from Sheldon was the one who said like, okay, no, I won't talk about like what happened in my village. I won't talk about my small story. I just remind you about why we're here is that because the same trouble is in those different countries. And you know, today I'm here at the bargaining session, but 1 year ago I was in jail. I was in jail for the only reason that I speak loud against this injustice that happened to my people, my families. And so you should remind that, you know, what we are now is, you know. So that was, at some point, they were quite surprised.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the guy, one of the guys say, they thought they would meet some small farmers, but actually they had a meeting with like Nelson Mandela with a big speech and refining.
Nelson Mandela, there you go.
So it was a great experience, and they were really empowered.
And what came out of the meeting? Did you feel like, did the farmers feel like they won any sort of understanding here? I want to remind everybody, we're talking to Adrien Rowe from Grenoble, France, and he's the coordinator, among other things, and we'll hear about some of those things, but he's the coordinator of REACT, which put together this exciting campaign in palm oil with Bolloré, a big multinational company out of Paris. So did the farmers feel like they won anything, Adrien?
The first thing that they were looking for is there was to have a plan, a calendar, with first to recognition of the all of the unions or community organizations, because that's not the case. So recognition was an important point, because they wouldn't be allowed to bargain. Then a second would be a plan for with first an independent assessment of the conflicted land. This land, which is considered as a vital land for local communities, which has been taken by the companies based on international law. So we managed to have this this international assessment, and then process a calendar for some land give backs.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this was, you know, we were quite optimistic after the meeting, and this assessment was quite important, because in Cameroon we get some give backs, but then suddenly 4 months after, it looks like the hard side, we could figure out that in the company some are in favor of giving in or trying to set the disputes, and there are some hardliners. And it looked like those hardliners get back in force, because suddenly in February we had some leaders in Liberia and Sierra Leone. These very one leaders who was in Paris, in Sierra Leone, got arrested again by the company.
Oh, and, wow.
So the fight was back, and that's why some action has been started again, international action from Cambodia, Cameroon, you know, those factory blockade in April and May, so that we start back the negotiation and the plan starts. So progress has been made, but the balance of power we must keep the pressure, and the local leaders and other committee, they're very aware that they must be organized. Organizations are getting bigger and bigger, with hundreds of members. And so we use those skills that we've learned with ACORN, and you know, with you, way those in these days of that we've learned about the organization. And that's, now things are getting better. Now, at the point where we are, we cannot turn back. Like, the company can never be...
You have another meeting scheduled this autumn, you said. Is that
exactly,
coming up here in a couple of months then?
Yeah, exactly. So we are just working on this, and we're hopeful that could be the final decision or final victory. Who knows?
Well, you got a feeling this is going to be a long struggle, but as long as you're winning stuff along the way. Now, we've spent a lot of time over the last couple of weeks talking about domestic workers as well. And, domestic workers is one of the fastest growing, it seems like sometimes one of the fastest growing professions around the world. That's finally starting to get attention. Women, largely young people who work in other people's homes, upper class, middle class, and whatever. And I think we spent a lot of time talking about Morocco. Now, here in the United States, Morocco seems like an exotic country, and Humphrey Bogart and Casablanca and whatever. But we've mainly been talking about a city called Rabat, which is the capital, and trying to figure out how we would, much like we've done in the United States and elsewhere, start organizing domestic workers. How exciting is that, Adrian?
Yeah, React have been working in Morocco for a while because many companies, like call centers or other, they just go offshore, and the cheapest, closest place is Morocco. So we've got some experience in how we could organize some of the Moroccan workers to support the struggle in France and vice versa.
But you've organized call centers in Morocco already?
Yeah. That's how we started to do in France.
Because those aren't easy to organize either, are they?
Yeah. It was quite a challenge. But in France, in some call centers, some companies, the workers, each time they would try to ask for better wages, better conditions, the answer would be always the same. Like, you know, you should better be happy with what you have because
it's a job.
Yeah, it's a job, and if you're not happy, we'll move all our facilities to Morocco, so you won't have nothing. And you know, still French workers, you know, are unionized and they're sometimes not satisfied with that. So they would sometimes go to strike. But still, the manager could be able in some of this company just to take his phone saying, oh, I've got a new strike, you know, here in Grenoble or here in Paris. So let's transfer all the incoming calls to Morocco, to Casablanca. So that's how the worker's power get like neutralized.
Yeah,
so that's why that's how we started to say like, so what we need is that we need the American to strike at the same time, basically.
Smart, that's good. Yeah.
That's
the theory
ideal.
Anyway.
That's the theory. Right. So that's how we start to have some organizers on the ground in Morocco to meet the workers, to find leaders, to start to sign up workers and to build this. These unions that eventually happen to be strong enough only thanks to this support from the French union, who pressured the management after that some of the union leaders in Morocco have been fired. And those pressure in France obliged the company to respect basic union freedom of association, so then the union get bigger. However, based on this experience now, we try to face a new challenge, which would be the domestic workers.
Well, as hard as it is to organize call center workers, I think domestic workers, that's a mountain to climb. We just walked over, you know, a small hill. I'm afraid we've got Everest in front of us because so few countries have created the rights and wherefore to be able to effectively organize domestic workers. And they don't have a fixed workplace like a call center, do they? Or even a palm oil orchard. I don't even know what you call it, a plantation, palm oil plantation, because they're in somebody else's home. So I know we spend a lot of time sort of say, button, where do we find them? How do we find these workers? So what's the thinking here? You've got some people that have spent some time in Morocco already.
So basically, the question would be like, what does these workers have in common? So they don't have a work site in common, but what do they have in common? What do they have in common is that most of them are migrant workers. A lot of them, they are from Congo or Cameroon to those West African countries or Central Africa. Some others, they come all the way from Sri Lanka or Philippines. And because they are, most of the domestic workers coming from those same countries, so they'll have some same, so, yeah, they will go to same churches, or they will have some, each time they get paid, they will transfer their money in their home country.
Right.
Home country. So we try to figure out in which place those people would go, and so that our organizer could access them and to figure out how it did, how it worked, and who would be interested in building a strong organization to defend their interests.
Can't exactly go door to door in a bunch of rich neighborhoods and say, hey, can you let your domestic worker come out and play? We're talking to Adrian Rose, the coordinator of React, an exciting organization that's now partnering with Acorn International and various other of our family of organizations, and they're trying to build informal workers unions, unions of precarious employees, much like we've talked about in India and elsewhere. domestic workers must have a lot of issues, Adrian.
Yeah, the situation of domestic workers in Morocco is quite difficult because there's no law to protect them. So they would be working time, you know, without limit. They will work 6 days, sometimes 7 days a week, you know, 12 hours, sometimes more, an hour. So like,
or live guess.
Basic, no limits. They live in the same house. They will work without a wage are, you know, very low. And those low wage, when they live in the house, the workers, they will have some of the money taken of their wage because they are fed. Time, you know, low wage, and even some case of, you know, violence, harassment, or rape, you know, and those domestic workers who are, you know, basically by themselves with no strong condition to protect.
And they're doing a whole range of tasks, probably child supervision, cooking, cleaning, you name it, huh?
Yeah, obviously. And, you know, this, in some house, you know, especially because each of this country with now more and more even middle class, you know, not only the rich people, but middle class can afford some domestic workers. So, yeah, it's not only cleaning, but cooking and taking care of basically of everything.
We talked about the our farmers there in the palm oil hardly making 50 euros a month. Now, are you telling me domestic workers might make less than 50 euros a month?
It depends. It depends on the situation. Sometimes, still, the cost of living in Morocco is a bit more. But when you take off some of the money, in the worst case, it can go to this level of low wages.
So, in imagining at least a domestic workers union, obviously the work is beginning now. We're at the ground floor, so we'll get to talk about this every 6 months or so and see what progress. But probably wages, though, are not going to be the number one issue to begin with, because wow, that's talk about a mountain on top of a mountain. So it's likely to be, what do you reckon, hours or basic, you know, human rights or?
Yeah. Still, basically, because of this, there's no one single employer like a company. The whole strategy will be to try to build a group powerful enough to be recognized and to be able to make pass some law to force some of the, you know, parliament in Morocco to make some law to protect domestic workers. And mostly that will be protection, about like time, which is one of the big thing, you know. I think one day off at least each week, which is, you know, something that is hardly ever respected. And and then some time limit, because basically some of the people that just die, you know, working, you know, just all every single minute when they're not sleeping.
Crazy. Last time we talked some time ago, we spent a lot of time talking about Alliance Citoyenne, and Adrian is one of the co-founders of the Alliance. Paris, we only have a minute or so left, but this is going to be big. Y'all are getting ready to train organizers to storm the gates in Paris now.
Exactly, yeah. We've been working, Alliance Citoyenne has been organizing citizens in Grenoble, France, and on the same, closely linked with REACT that we've been talking about, mostly like for housing issues or even, you know, cleaners or for schools. And now the attention that we got in Grenoble and we are able to grow and to try to grow that so that we can live some national campaign, and so that we need to build Alliance Citoyenne, Citizen Alliance in Paris and some other of the major cities in France. And we are getting to this point. Three organizers are coming to Grenoble this autumn
to get
trained, you know, knock on the doors, make
we know the system.
Sign up members, you know, so that they are getting trained to Acorn Way, and hopefully they're doing a great job when back in the Paris.
Well, and we can hardly wait. And if people want to find out more about the Alliance or REACT, how would our listeners support you? Who can they get in touch with? How could they send couple of dollars to say, go forward, we.
We've got a website for React, which is www.projectreact.org. It's in French and English. Unfortunately for Alliance Citoyenne, it's only in French, so hopefully some of the KABF listeners know some French. So www.alliancecitoyenne38.org. And so that you can follow up the hard work. And with Acorn International, since we Alliance Citoyenne is affiliated to Acorn International,
That's right. They can always go to www.acorninternational.org and say, hey, here's some support for the operation in France. And luckily, speaking of somebody who knows France, the show that follows me, my sister is from France. It's, of course, a wine show, so now it's like France, here we go. This has been Wade's World on www.kabf.org. There'll be a podcast of this show that'll be on Monday. We're at 88.3 in Little Rock, Arkansas, but also being recorded and played in Flagstaff, Dallas, New Orleans, and other markets. This has been Wade's World for another Friday. See you next week. Au revoir.